Awesome is the sight.
This place, how awesome is the
sight. How glory to God.
How awesome is the sight.
Our radiant King of Light. Be still, glory to God. For the glory of the Lord.
For the glory of the Lord is shining all around.
Our Father and our God, we stand in awesome awe and reverence at your radiant presence. The word says you are light. That's not only true symbolically, it's true literally. Our awesome King of Light. How awesome is your sight, our radiant King of Light. We honor you. We worship. We enter into your word and ask that, that radiant light go with us to enlighten the word so we will see what you see. That you will shine in our minds to give the light of the knowledge of your glory that is in the face of Jesus Christ, the same glory Jesus carried when he was here, to bring glory to your name. Freedom and deliverance to creation from the bondage of corruption. And to, with speed and finality, cut short the work in righteousness and close this age. Open our understanding. Anoint me afresh. Help me speak as I should, indeed as an oracle of God. Father, I beseech you, put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me. Those who are physically present, those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically, so that your word will flow freely from you, through me, to your people, to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in great and insufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and are hearers only. I further pray that as I speak, Lord God, you will help me to be precise, to redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old. Indeed, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, in Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving every blessing I mention in their individual lives, all agreed individually and said, amen. This afternoon, I'm going to start a series of messages, which I really don't know how long it's going to take. I don't know how far God is going to stretch it, on kings and characters in the Old Testament. I downloaded some of these messages towards the end of last year, and I think earlier on this year, and there's quite a lot of them. But I'm going to start today with a trilogy of three kings. And they were good kings, but we have a lot to learn from their lives. Asa, Hezekiah, and Jehoshaphat. I have another whole series on the David dynasty. Saul, Jonathan, and David, David, Joab, and Nathan, and so many others like that. And as the Holy Spirit directs me, we'll be sharing these things because we're entering into the time of the reign of David. As I speak today, Saul is still reigning, but his reign has been rejected by God years and years ago. But the manifestation, like it was in the life of David, God anointed him to be king, but he didn't become king until, you know, 13 years later. In our case, even taking longer because of what God is doing. God is going to change the entire leadership structure of the church. It is, and we begin to see the judgment, what happened in America. God is showing forth what is not, what does not have his approval, that which has his approval may come forth. And when it does, there will be such a contrast. And I shared this with some people. It is a prophetic word I got from the Word of God. At that time, people will say, this is our God. We've waited for him. It will be in contrast with what they had seen before. And no man will be able to deny it. Even the unbeliever, even the ones who are not Christian, will say, this is the finger of God. It is imminent. So all these are like preparations. So we want to look at three kings. First with me, turn with me firstly to give you a New Testament basis for what we're going to do. Although we're going to be the Old Testament. But let's read this from the New Testament. It's in Romans chapter 15. It's in verse 4. Romans chapter 15 verse 4. And I read. Say, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, he's talking about New Testament born again spirit filled Christians, through patience, I didn't hear you, and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. This is a very important verse in the New Testament. You must understand, and sadly many Christians seem to forget this fact, that the scriptures he was talking about were the Old Testament scriptures. At the time Paul was writing, the New Testament scriptures didn't exist. They were being written. So Paul is telling us that everything that we read in the Old Testament, observe the word whatsoever. Everybody say whatsoever. Turn to your neighbor and say whatsoever means whatsoever. So whatsoever was written in Leviticus, whether you like it or not, whatsoever was written in Exodus, In Numbers, in Deuteronomy, in Genesis, in Joshua, in Ruth, in Ecclesiastes, all were written for your learning. You do yourself a great injustice and disservice to ignore the Old Testament. He says, whatsoever was written aforetime, was written what for who? Us. New Testament Christians for our learning. So we're going to look at these three kings. I don't know if I finish all three of them today. If I don't, because it's a series, I will pick it up my next, next lesson, next time I minister here. And I want to look at three kings. These kings are all good kings. And I have put them in the order. Everybody say Asa, Hezekiah, and Jehoshaphat. Hezekiah ended better than Asa. Jehoshaphat ended better than Hezekiah. That's why I put them in that order. Let's look at Asa first. I actually mentioned him recently in one of my ministrations. You know, but today we want to go in more detail. That time I just mentioned a few things I was talking about. Divine healing and health, and I mentioned about Asa, and we'll still talk about, you know, we'll still mention that today, but today I'm not focusing on healing and health and, you know, and all of that. I'm talking about his character and what caused the problem. That's why it says it is written for our learning. Turn with me first of all to Second Chronicles chapter 14. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take it in bits and pieces because of time. We won't read everything. I'm going to pick a few, you know, select verses. And then I'll just fill in between for us. So Abijah, I didn't hear you. slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. And in his days, the land was quiet 10 years. I'm going to be making comments as I go along. Turn to your neighbor and say, why only 10? Why not 20? Why not 30? Why not 40? It's a question. Keep it in your heart. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. I didn't hear you. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and break down the images and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. He took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built, verse 6, and he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest. And he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Turn to neighbor and say, God will give you rest in Jesus' name. I shared about this sometime last year during this COVID breakdown. And I said, afflictions are temporal. You see, it's not the will of God that we go from fight to fight to fight to fight to fight to fight. Now we will fight. I'm not saying, you know. But you see, God wants to bring you to a place in your Christian life where you enter rest. You know the Bible says so? He said, there therefore remaineth a rest for the people of God. But you must labor to enter in that rest. That rest is not automatic. But if you labor and you labor properly as you should, you will enter in the place of rest. What does rest mean? Rest does not mean inactivity. It doesn't mean the devil will not be there. What it means is that there will be so much of the power of God in your life, in your body, in your circumstances, in your environment, that Satan's influence will be constantly subdued. Occasionally he will attack, but even then he will not last long. And the example I used was Daniel. You look at Daniel's life. Daniel's life started in tribulation. His life was hanging on a thread. He was taken as a slave from Jerusalem. After Jerusalem had been destroyed, the temple had been destroyed, and Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuzaradan, his chief of staff, the captain of the guard, came and carried all of them away. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, were all carried into Babylon. They could have been killed any minute. The way Nebuchadnezzar was killing people, the king that was there, I think it was Zedekiah or something, he took him to a place called Riblah. He took his eyes out and killed all his sons in front of him. So Daniel, I'm sure he was just watching all of that. God, what's going to happen to us? You know, but you see, Daniel knew God. I'm sure he wasn't afraid. Even if they killed him, he knew he was going to go to God. You know, but they didn't kill him. So they take him to Babylon. And, you know, Nebuchadnezzar perceives that these are good children. When I say children, they weren't children. They were in their teens. You know, young men who he could use. You know, so he said they should feed them and look after them. And that was the first test. Daniel said he wouldn't eat the food. The guy said, if you don't eat the food, they'll cut your head off. This will be translation. And Daniel quickly said, you know, just give us vegetables and water and check us after 10 days. After 10 days, they were fine. The guy took away the Babylonian food. You know, then later on, the guy had a dream. He interpreted it. He was going to kill all of them. He interpreted it. Then later on, he had this image, asked them to bow. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow. They went into the fire. They came out. Then later on, the Persians took over and they put him in the lion's den because he prayed to God. But if you look, all this I said, these 4 or 5 incidents were all over a period of 50, 60 years. They went every day. Because Daniel made a habit of prayer, the power of God was so much in his life that occasionally there will be tribulation, but most of the time he had rest. It was quiet. That's how your life should be. Let me use Jesus as our example. The Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, as we all know. He grew up in a place called Nazareth for 30 years. We don't hear of anything. Nothing. We don't hear of him, you know, when he was young, they wanted to kill him. Or there was nothing like that, you know. Then he gets anointed with the Spirit that measure and starts his ministry. For those 3 years, we hear of no incident of an attack that penetrated his surroundings. He wanted to go across to something. There was a storm. He calmed it. Peace be still. You know, then Herod wanted to kill him one time, but he was wise. He just stayed away, you know, said that fox. Whenever they tried to kill him in Nazareth, they tried to throw him on the cliff. He walked through them. In another place, you know, he went and you know, they would try to arrest him. So people would come and say, never man speak like this man. What am I saying? I am saying Daniel, Jesus, they give us pictures of what Asa had for those 10 years of quiet, rest. It does not mean inactivity. In fact, it means intense spiritual activity in terms of prayer and walking in the Spirit, which now generates the power that creates a quiet atmosphere. And the enemies, they are there. The enemies are not, it's not as if they're not there, but they are subdued. And that's how your life should be. That's not to say we will not have tribulation. That's not to say we will not have trials and tests. But if you enter into rest, the frequency, I've said this so many times, the frequency, the gravity, that is how severe, the duration, you know, of the tribulations will be at a minimum. In other words, they won't happen so often. Number two, when they do happen, the effect will be very minimal. The gravity of it, you know, or the, you know, the damage, call it what we call collateral damage, and then how long they last. They won't last some like Daniel overnight. The lion's den was over. That's the last tribulation we hear in Daniel's life. No more tribulation until the man died and I went to heaven and wrote the book of Daniel and left it for us. What are we saying? And here he was in a hostile environment. Babylon is one of the worst places you could be in. Idol worship, all kinds of, you know, wickedness and everything. A crazy president like Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was actually crazy. It took God to deal with him. So, keep that at the back of your mind. So, everything was fine. Then let's now jump to verse 9. And there came out, he was quiet, but this happened, this is one of the incidents that happened. And there came out against them Zera, the Ethiopian, was obviously a black man, with a host of 1,000,000. Turn to your neighbor and say, do you know what 1,000,000 is? Say it's 1,000,000. It was rare in those days to have that number of an army, you know, in terms of population. Usually there were 200,000-400,000. It will frighten anybody. And 300 chariots. Chariots were a big thing in those days. It's like having today, you know, tanks, you know, that are highly sophisticated. That you can't even, you know, you can fire things at it. It won't affect it. And came unto Maresha. Maresha. Okay. Then Asa, I didn't hear you, went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephatha, all these wonderful names, at Maresha. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, It is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee. He was outnumbered and outgunned. They didn't have guns in those days, but, you know, they had archers. They had, you know, they're not a million. With 300 chariots, Asa's army was probably 300,000, 400,000, 500,000. So those guys had the double the number. Then on top of that, all the weapons. That was why he prayed. Because ordinarily, he would have been, you know, discouraged. He would have been, that's why he said, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with few. So, the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah. Watch this. And the Ethiopians fled. Turn to your neighbor and say, when God is on your side, the enemy will flee. That's why the Bible says, resist the devil. And he will do what? I want to repeat that. Everybody say, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know what happens to most Christians? They don't resist the devil. When they see the devil, they start to cry. They are so afraid. Most people, when a problem shows its head, the first thing that comes to their heart is fear. The second thing that comes to their heart is murmuring. The third thing that comes to their heart is complaint. Instead of understanding that this is the enemy and that God has allowed it so I can be victorious over him, they begin to ask God why God allowed it to come. And they begin to now blame God, murmur and complain. One thing we must learn to do, my wife was actually sharing this with some people yesterday. One thing we must all learn to do is not be like the children of Israel. They never remembered what God did. When they are faced with a fresh problem, all their focus is on that problem. They forget all the other victories that God has given them, and then they begin to lift up their words and say, why have you brought us to this wilderness to destroy us? The God who put all the 10 plagues of Egypt, the God that split the Red Sea, the God that gave you water out of the rock. Give him, cut him some slack. I say that reverentially. Give him some, if you have another problem, can't you remember all the things he did? But that's the way the carnal mind is. Because its control is in enmity against God. It doesn't remember. It's the carnal mind is very ungrateful. It doesn't remember what God has done. It's always quick to fear, quick to murmur, quick to complain. God, I've been serving you up here. Why do you allow this problem to come into my life? Don't you know that problems come into your life for the word's sake? It's not because you're not doing the word of God. It's because you are doing the word of God that Satan counts you a worthy opponent to attack. If you are attacked, it's a plus for you. I didn't hear amen. Only Pastor Boyega said amen. If you are not worthy of attack, if Satan is not attacking you, it means he does not even count you worthy. You are no threat to the kingdom. But when you are attacked, it means that the kingdom of darkness recognizes you are important and you are strategic. So you should count it all joy. When you fall into diverse temptations and trials, don't not to murmur and complain. Count it joy. Use it as an opportunity to use the strength of God. Look at what Asa said. Oh God, let not man prevail. How would they hear that the Ethiopians came with a million armor and they demolished the Israelites? All the other nations would rush them. This man had faith in God, and God honored him. But what happened after? We have a lot to learn. I don't know if I'll be able to get to that Kingsley. I'm going to take my time and do it properly. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 15. See, the problem with our people The Holy Spirit is speaking to you, not scripture, yeah, to me. We don't read our Bible. Most Christians are very lazy when it comes to Bible reading. Where we do is not consistent. That is why these kind of scriptures are not familiar to many of our people. That's why God has asked me to preach from them. You know, especially our New Testament. All we know is 4:19. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all manner, you know. But we have our choice scriptures that we like. These are places where you are going to learn. Something happened. And the Spirit of God came. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 15. That's the next chapter. Upon Azariah, the son of Oded. Some of these New Testament names. And he went out to meet Asa. And said unto him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you. Watch this. The prophet is giving a warning because God could see ahead. The Lord is with you while you be with him. Notice, you see, all of us, we all like just this flamboyant, no, the word is not flamboyant, you know, this Christianity that has no conditions. It's a lie. It will get you into trouble. And it will get you killed in some terrible instances. I know you won't say amen. But I'm telling you the truth. If you don't listen to the word of God and learn by the mercies and the grace of God to be fulfilling God's conditions, you cannot go and start standing on promises under whose conditions you are not fulfilling. It's called presumptuousness. It will get you killed. The Bible says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. The prophet, and I'm, you know, I'm getting ahead of myself. Why did God send this prophet to Asa? By the time I finish, you will understand. He begins to warn him. He had just come from a great victory. 1 million Ethiopians, God smote them and they fled. So, God knowing man's heart. See, it's God who knows the heart. He had begun to see some things in Asa's heart. So he now sends a prophet ahead of time to warn him. It's not a negative thing. What he's told him here is positive, but conditional. While you be with him, and if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. You know, these are the kind of things people don't like to hear. Nobody wants. That's why we don't like prophets. Don't come and tell me, God forbid. You know? Not my portion. God can never forsake me. Now, I know that he said he will never leave us nor forsake us. But it's all conditional. It's all conditional. If you forsake him, he will forsake you. Nobody said amen. As if it's not God's word. Because God had seen something in Asa's heart that had started to, was not as it should be. Even though he was a good man. And I'm going to tell you the root reason by the time I finish. So the Bible says this man, he still did well. Verse 3. Now for a long season, Israel had been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. Look at the church today. Very similar. You know one of the things they hate most in the church today? Teaching. Everybody wants preaching and hype. You listen to their messages, it's just whoo, 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 whoo. What did he say? Whoo, 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 whoo. Everybody's shouting, everybody's screaming, but nothing is being said. Without the law, I challenge you, and I say this not in a critical kind of spirit, in a good kind of spirit, so that you can help other people. Find somebody who doesn't come to this church. Maybe a friend or a neighbor or something. And just ask, you know, if born again Christian. Just ask them. Say, what's the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus? He will look at you. He may try and guess. Why? It's not emphasized. It's not taught. In fact, in how you don't even hear it. And you know what? That's the New Testament law. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That he has set you free from the law of sin and death. They don't know what it is. They don't know how to operate it. That's what he's talking about here. Remember, it's for our learning. This is not the old. This is not the Ten Commandments of the Old Testament. To us today, this is speaking to the teaching about the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. But verse 4. But when they in their trouble did turn to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is good and God is faithful. And in those times, there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And the nation was destroyed, a nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, there was a lot of war. And God did vex them with all adversity. Just the exact opposite of what I was talking about when I said, God wants you to come to a place of rest. Be ye strong, therefore. This is the prophetic word. And let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words, I didn't hear you. And the prophecy of Oded the prophet, all these Old Testament prophets, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. This guy was a good guy. I'm not done yet. Yes. Yes. Now let's look at verses 16. Good. This Asa was so good. His mommy was worshipping idols. He dealt with her. He didn't kill her. Honor your father and your mother. But he removed her from her position. Look at what he says. And also, see, these are scriptures most Christians aren't familiar with. People don't read their Bible. And also, Makkah, the mother of Asa the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa cut down her idol, stamped and burnt it at the brook Kidron. Let me stop there. He did a lot of things. He didn't do everything. Some of the high places he didn't take away. But he was a good man. He was a good king. And he did not allow human sentiment to disturb him from doing the will of God. When his mother, and all of us need to learn this, is one of the things that are going to happen in the end time. The Bible says, and we haven't read that place yet. We're coming to it. Let me just give you a little bit, you know, brief. See, where we are now is we are near the manifestations of the sons of God. Once that happens, and the sons of God begin to manifest, and the glory of God is made manifest, the kings will come to the brightness of our eyes and all of that. After some time, I think typically using the revelation as a shadow, you know, that's going to happen in the great tribulation. This is not the great tribulation. It's going to be the great persecution. So I'm going to just use it as a time. Maybe the first 3.5 years, things will not be so difficult. But when we now demand righteousness from those kings, Some of them, God would have used us to heal them, heal their children, bless their nations. And they would like that. But when we now say, look, the way you're living is wrong. You shouldn't do this. God demands this of you. Like Asa did later on, sadly. They're going to get angry. Some of them will be killed by God through the prophetic word through our mouth. The Bible says so. He says, you know, he's going to remove the kings. He's going to, you know, put, he's going to kill the heads over many countries, you know, and all of that. They're going to get very angry. That is going to trigger a universal persecution. This is not tribulation. This is not the great tribulation. The Bible says, you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. That has not happened yet. This is still ahead of us. But the part I want to bring out is that during that time of that universal persecution, don't trust your mother. Don't trust your father. Don't trust your brother. Don't trust your sister. They will be the ones that will betray you. The Bible says so. It says, brother will deliver brother, father will deliver son will deliver. It's all in the Bible. Now, I'm learning now. I'm very loving to my natural family as best as God helps me. I love them. I pray for them. I give to them. Whatever God tells me to do. I honor my father and my mother. My dad's gone now, but my mom's still around, you know, and, you know, my aunties and all of that. So I do that. But I recognize that if they go in a way that is not of God, God will not approve of it. And I have to make a stand like Asa did. It's his mother. He doesn't get closer than your mother. But he did the right thing. He didn't kill her. He didn't kill her. He just removed her from her position. And then took her idol and broke it down. And you know the message he's passing across? If I can do it to my mother, God do so and more unto you if you try it. And you and I have to be like that. People need to know. I don't like too many stories, but I'll tell you a small one. I just come back from England. And, you know, this was 1980. You know, to answer the call of God. And my mom did a very lovely thing. She bought me a car. It was a Volkswagen, you know, Beetle. Lovely car, you know, brand new, spanking new. You won't believe this. Young people, look at me. It was 1,500 naira. Nobody can believe that today. 1,500 naira from Volkswagen Nigeria. In those days, we used to make them in Nigeria. We made Volkswagen, we made Peugeot, you know, 504, you know, and so on and so on. Air conditioned, though the Volkswagen was not air conditioned, you know. And, you know, so they drove it from the factory or wherever my mom bought it from. So I now came to the house, you know, to take the car. My mom said, oh, I bought you this, you know, so you can take it to go and do whatever it is you want to do. You know, so I can never forget this experience because it depends on how the stand you have. And you know, in the normal Yoruba tradition, somebody, I can't remember, we had some relatives and everything in the house. You know, I say, Olubi, you know, Yoruba, you know, thank you for your, you know, thank God for your car and all of that. And he wanted to pour libation. You know, they will pour a libation to the god of iron so that you won't have accidents. This is a true story. So, I don't remember who it was. You know, maybe it was one of the drivers or something. You know how it is. You know, let's all celebrate. And, you know, wanted to do something on the car. It was my father-in-law. My stepfather, Justice Bakary of blessed memory. He was looking from his bedroom. The car was downstairs. This was in our house in Ikoyi, you know, before we moved to Yaba. You know, because he was still a high court judge, you know, before he retired. So he was looking from his bedroom. And he said, Ema sumoka olubio. He was shouting from upstairs. He said, and everybody backed off. Nobody dared to bring libation near my car. Why? Because they knew my stand. The Yoruba people have a saying, you know, they say that that is what you are not going to eat. Don't let them bring it near your nose. Because if they bring it near your nose, you may be tempted to eat it. Take your stand. I was loving to my parents. I was respectful to them. But they knew my stand. So my stepfather shouted from the top. Don't go near his car with libation. Oh. If Olubi finds it, there will be fireworks in this house. And he was absolutely right. At that time, I was firebrand. I still am. It's just I have more wisdom now. Today, I would still have said, don't try it. But but in those days, I would have been. I was only 20 years old, 21 years, 20. You know, I was just a kid. You know, but that's an example. Don't let them, your parents or your people, however well-meaning they are, they should not even be able to suggest to you about idolatry or we are, you know, there's one Baba somewhere, you know, Kosadura Tolongungbo. Have you heard that before? There is no prayer God doesn't hear. Hey, they have prayed in your church. We will also pray. You know, and all the prayer, God will hear everything. Tell them what the Bible says. That the things that the Gentiles sacrifice, they do not sacrifice to God, but to devils. It will put them off. You can say it nicely. But say it. This wishy-washy Christianity that is ready to take almost anything is killing the church. Let them know. This man, he did the right thing. The Bible says these things are written for our what? Learning. Verse 17 said, but the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. Now this looks like a contradiction in light of things we're going to read in a minute. What that means is this. You see, when the Bible says something was perfect, that word perfect, it just means upright. Asa never departed from the living God all of his days. He never went to worship Baal or Ashtoreth or all the... Asa was not like... We're going to be looking at some of those other kings, you know, in some of my other series I'm going to be teaching. Asa, that's why I'm looking at the good kings now. You know, Asa was not like Ahab. He was not like Jeroboam. He was not like Manasseh. That's another series. Turn to your neighbor, say coming attractions. He wasn't like that. So that's what the Bible says. He was perfect all his days. He was like David. He was like Hezekiah. You know, these are guys who never, all their life, they never worshipped idols. They never departed from God. Yet, they made mistakes. Now, we're going to see the mistakes of Asa. I think it's Asa we're going to deal with today. Then we'll do Hezekiah and maybe Jehoshaphat together next week. Now, what was the problem? Chapter 16, verse 1. And in the 6th and 30th year, that's what you see, brethren, the Bible says, apply your heart to wisdom. When you are reading your Bible, put your brain on. Don't switch it off. Most Christian scripture, why did he tell you 6th and 30th year? So you can go back and find out what year he started. Then you can subtract. Then you can then know how many years it was. Are you listening to me? That's why you have to use your mind when you're reading the Bible. In the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, the king of Israel, came up against Judah. Background. At this time, the kingdom had been divided. It's one of the consequences of David's sin. That's another message for another day. We're going to talk about David and Solomon and Nathan and all those guys. You know, sin is a terrible thing, Pastor G. You don't want to touch it because it has a ripple effect. Yes, God forgave David, but look at the effect. It split the kingdom. So, Judah, which is the southern kingdom that had the two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, and you know, the other 10 tribes were in the north, and that's why they were called Israel. Watch this. For those of you who don't know your Bible properly, the capital of the southern kingdom, which was the ones that were of the house of David, and that's where most of the good kings came from. You hardly ever had a good king from Israel. The capital was Jerusalem. The capital of the northern kingdom was Samaria. But it's very interesting, Prof, that some of the greatest prophets operated in the northern kingdom. Elisha and Elijah. Another message for another day. I'm still going to preach on Elijah and Elisha. God said, we need to learn. He said, they don't read their Bible. God was telling me, "Unka Bible." So most of them don't know. Or they just read it like you know, like you read newspaper. And they don't digest it. Some of you have read some of these things before, but you've never taken time to think and deep about it. Now, this was his brother. His brother in the sense that both of them were Israelites, but the guy was the king of Israel. And he built Ramah. That it was a stronghold, you know, where he put in soldiers and horses and things like that in anticipation of an attack. To the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. In other words, it was a blockade. Have you heard of blockades recently? But don't let's go there. Then Asa Elanui brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent you silver and gold. Go, break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa and sent the captains of armies against the cities of Israel, and they smote Ijon, Dan, Abel-Maim, and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard that he heard it, he left off building of Ramah and let his word, he stopped the blockade. And then Asa the king took all Judah and carried away the stones of Ramah, etc. Verse 7 is where I want to go to. And at that time, in our language, that means something that happened. There was a deterioration in the heart of Asa. Otherwise, this thing would never have happened. And that's the lesson we all have to learn. He's a guy who started very well. Very. And you know, I've been a pastor now for 30. We started in 1984, at least this church. But actually been in the ministry. God called me in 1980. So I've really been in the ministry it's going to be 41 years now. I've been around to some degree to the glory of God. And being a pastor of a local church like this, I've seen people come and go. I've seen people who start very well and suddenly something will happen. Well, it's not really suddenly. Suddenly is when you noticed it, but something has been happening inside the heart. And this same person who's been with you all these years, who said the same thing with you, will just do something that will shock you. And at that time, this is verse 7, Hanani, the seer, that's another word for prophet, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, this thing, when I read it, it grieves my heart because I know how God felt. And that's why it's written for admonition. Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria. See, the person who is attacking him is his half-brother, so to speak. He's an Israelite. Why couldn't you call upon your God? You watch this. You now went to meet an unbeliever. The same thing happens today. Why are you saying, ah? Christians do it every day. When they're in problem, you know, they will not go and meet the pastor because they know what the pastor is going to say. Ah, pastor, you know, what come and say, it's not God. Sound familiar? So they'll go and now meet an unbeliever, person who's not a Christian, and try and get resources from them to do what they know is not the perfect will of God. But they will not tell their oversight or anybody who is in kind of spiritual authority or has some level of spirituality. They will hide it from them because they want to do what they want to do. If you can't say amen, say oh me. That's what this man did. King of Syria, for heaven's sake. I'm not going to repeat that verse, but if you go back and read it, he took the treasures from the house of God to go and give it to an unbeliever to protect him against a fellow Israelite who easily could have called upon God and God would have dealt with him. Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God. Therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thy hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host, with very many chariots and horsemen, yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thy hand. This is a scripture we all know very well. We quote it all the time. But this is the context in which it was written. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Did the Bible not say Asa's heart was perfect? Didn't say so. Therefore, we must know then that there are levels of perfection. Do you understand? There was a general perfection in which he didn't go and worship idols. He didn't do that. But his level of fellowship and relationship with God had dropped. That's why the problem came in the first place. He had quiet for 10 years. That's why I asked that question. Why only 10? Something started happening to Asa's heart after 10 years. He was not where he used to be spiritually. And it opened the door for the attack of Israel, of Baasha, the king of Israel, to come and attack him. And it was a very simple thing. If he had gone back to God, God would have told him what he was doing that was wrong. And he had corrected it. It would easy, God would have dealt with Baasha. It's happened before in the Old Testament. There was one time, you know, I don't remember all the exact details, but I'll just give it to you. You can check it in your Bible. You know, I think it was on the time of Jeroboam. And yes, and Rehoboam, after the death of Solomon, you know, and they wanted to go and fight. You know, Rehoboam, I think, wanted to go and fight with Jeroboam, or the other way around, you know, because Jeroboam, that's how the kingdom was split. Jeroboam, God gave him 10 tribes. Rehoboam was the son of Solomon, you know, and they was going to fight. A prophetic word came and said, these are your brothers. He said, don't fight. And they went. Not an arrow was shot, no sword, nobody died, no casualty, just by the word of the. And that would have been the easiest way to deal with this thing, because they were both Israelites and they both knew the God of Abraham. Even though this other guy was, you know, half backslidden. You know, the Israelite guy, the king of Israel. But you know what? He went to rely on the king of Syria. Verse 10. And Asa, this was the one we read last week, because of the in context of healing. And Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, Asa! As good as Asa was. You have to understand this walk with God is dynamic. You cannot rely on the grace of 2019 for the challenges of 2021. There is no, I used to. It's not what you used to, it's what you are doing now. Are you listening to me, folks? Yes, Asa was a good king. His heart was perfect. He never backslid. He never went to worship idols like Jeroboam and some of these other guys. But his level of fellowship with the Lord had fallen. And I'm going to show you why in a minute. You know. And he oppressed the people. And we know this is the one we did last time, so I'm not going to repeat it. You know, the Bible says he was good and then he got sick. Again, you have to ask yourself the question, what opened the door to the sickness? See, we just read these things on the surface and think it's just natural, anybody can be sick. No! If you are following God, according to the Old Testament, if you're hearkening to the voice, he said, I will not allow any of the disease upon thee. So if this has come, it means that the guy was not doing some of the things. So what happened? Verse 12. In the 30th, this is 3 years later. The attack came in the 36th year. So this is not a question of a two-day thing. Do you understand, folks? 3 years later, was disease in his feet, and until his disease was exceeding great. In other words, he started as a small thing, and then God gave room. God gave room. For repentance. Asa should have asked himself, why this? Why did even Baasha was able to come against me? Why did I go and give all the treasures of the house of God to Syria? God is angry with me. Then he puts a whole prophet in jail. Odindi Woli. And yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the, you know why? He was not in a good relationship with God. He didn't even bother to consult. How can somebody of Asa's stature that we've just read deteriorate to this point? That's for our learning. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year of his reign. They buried him in his own sepulchres, which he had made for himself in the city of David, and laid him in bed, which was filled with sweet odors and diverse kinds of spices prepared by the apothecary's art, and they made a very great burning for him. A celebrated death does not... Some people, you know, it's not how fine it is, whether you got good mark with God. I'm going to close. What is the lesson here? Thank you, Jesus. Asa started very well. He was greatly commended by God. He got a great victory over a million-man army. Then something happened. Asa's heart was no longer where it used to be. He did not leave God. That's why it's a lesson for all of us. You see, you can stay born again. You're still born again. You still come to church. You are not backslidden and all of that. But you are not walking with God like you used to. The heart is not where it used to be. Let me be more specific in today's language. The degree of honesty of heart, the degree of humility of heart, the fervency in prayer, the consistency in walking in the Spirit, all that dropped. It didn't go to zero, but it dropped from where it used to be. Whereas it should have increased, it dropped. It was that drop that opened the door. The Bible said the land had quiet for he had rest. When everything was fine, the Lord revealed this to me. He said, and this is not only true of Asa, we're going to see it in Hezekiah, we're going to see it in Jehoshaphat later on. You know, the problem was this. Once things were quiet and there was ease, woe unto him that is at ease in Zion. That's what happens. Once there was quiet and there was ease, he relaxed spiritually. You know, and watch this. This is one of the consequences of prosperity without the corresponding prosperity of the soul. He got involved in physical activity. They were building fence cities. They were doing this. They were doing that. He was going here. You know, the Bible says so. He built fence cities. He was doing a lot of good things. But then he was neglecting the main thing. What's the main thing? We have to learn this. Deuteronomy chapter 17. I don't know if I'm helping anybody here. Deuteronomy chapter 17. We're going to be looking at a lot of this in all of these kings. But we're going to start with Asa. Now, look at what he says in verse 15. He said, you don't set a king over you who is not one of your people. Then he said, he shall not multiply horses to himself and cause people to return to Egypt, etc., etc. He shall not multiply wives himself. These are all the things that Solomon broke. And it shall be. Now, the 17 and 18 is the key. When he seated upon the throne of his kingdom, he shall write him a copy of the law, a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him. And he shall read therein some of the days of his life. The days of his life when he's not busy in a campaign. The days of his life when he's not building a fenced city. You will find this going to become a recurring decimal. Once they got comfortable and they had some degree of prosperity, they get involved in physical works and then they neglect this. And then the heart begins to drop. That's what happened. That he may learn all the days of his life. That he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words, to keep some of the words of this law. And you know, I told you earlier on, to us now is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law of life and love. Love is the fulfilling of the law in the New Testament. Another message for another day. These statutes to do them. How do you do it? The word is nigh thee in thy mouth and in thy heart that thou mayest do it. All these things are in the Bible. This same Deuteronomy contains all the instructions. So it's not in the New Testament. Moses said, "Don't." It's not in the heaven. You go up. It's not that below the sea or across the sea. He said, it's nigh thee. So they knew what to do. But didn't do it. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren. What did he do? He imprisoned a prophet. His heart was lifted up. This is QED. That's quod erat demonstrandum. It means the proof is done. That's how we know that this is what happened. Because we know what he did. His heart was lifted up. So if his heart, if he had done this, his heart would not have been lifted up. That's what made him get angry with the prophet and put him in jail. And the Bible says he didn't only that. He said he oppressed a lot of some of the people. This same Asa. His heart was lifted that he turned not aside from his commandment to the right and to the left, that he may prolong his days and that of his children in the midst of Israel. This is what happened. And it was over time. That's why the Bible keeps giving us the chronology. In the 36th year, in the 39th year, that's enough time for someone to say, I've missed God. I've missed God. God, I'm sorry. Fall on his face. I'm going to close. See, this is the danger of prosperity. Prosperity is great, and I believe in it. And we haven't even started yet. We're going to have plenty of money. Now, not because of us, but so that we can do the work of God. Do you understand? But one of the dangers of prosperity and ease is that unconsciously, it makes you think you don't need God as much as you used to. Let me be very specific. See, if you're in a position where you're not sure where the next meal is coming from, you know how to pray, but when you have 300 million naira in the bank, stocks, assets, you pray, you don't pray, the money is there. Am I talking to anybody here? You pray, you don't pray. Asa got angry with the prophet and put him in jail. It did not change his physical circumstances. So he felt it was okay. The relationship with God was no longer a priority. And he was telling himself that I don't serve Baal. I don't serve Ashtoreth. I still serve God. Which is true. But he wasn't where he should be. So that lack of higher level of consecration opened the door, is for our learning. To firstly, the attack from the Israel. Secondly, to allow him to deteriorate to the place where he goes and gives the treasures of the house of God to Syria. Thirdly, to make him lock up a prophet who was sent by God to help him to repent. And it led to his death. As good as Asa was, he died of a sickness that could have been avoided had he been walking with God as he should be. He died prematurely. He would have lived much longer. That's why we ask the question, stand to your feet, at the beginning, why 10 years? He could have had quiet for 50 years. All the days of his life. Like I explained to you, it doesn't mean the devil won't attack you, but you're able to get rid of it quick. The frequency, the gravity, the duration of the attacks will be reduced to a bare minimum when you're in that place of rest. I'm going to help you by answering a rhetorical question. When prophets preach like this, and this is a prophetic message because it's about what is happening to us based on the types and shadows of the scripture, they ask John the Baptist, they say, what shall we do? I'm not going to tell you to, if you have two coats, give to this. I'm going to tell you something. Do not play with the word of God. Keep the commandment of life and love, day and night, as I've taught you. Once every 6 hours, pray a lot in the spirit. Read your Bible every day. Are you listening to me? Then on top of that, that is there. On top of that, never be satisfied with your level of spirituality so long as it has not reached the stature of the fullness of Christ. I've not done yet. When you reach the stature of the fullness of Christ, don't be satisfied until you have done the greater works. When you have done the greater works, don't be satisfied until you do a greater than the one you've done. For the glory of the latter house will always be greater than that of the former. Never say to yourself in your heart, is this not great Babylon? That I have done. Look at what I have done. Olupi Johnson, Olupi and Sarah Johnson Foundation. Scripture Pasture. Look at what. See what God has done for my life. The minute you start thinking like that, you're coming down. I don't care what you have. I just use myself as an example. I don't care what you have. I don't care how many success you have had. Always tell yourself, I'm pressing toward the mark. For the prize of the high calling. Paul said, I have not yet attained. The person who wrote the whole New Testament. Then who are you? The thing that humbled me 40 something years ago was the prophetic word out of the mouth of Kenneth E. Hagin. He said, men will stand in the office of the prophet in the full measure, not in the partial measure as I have. My mouth opened and closed. That's the first time I heard it. I said, Kenneth Hagin, far. Jesus appeared to him about 20 times. Over a period from 1952 to the 1980s. And he's saying, partial measure. It humbled me. All these are our little kiletiche. Let's say it in Yoruba. What have you done? God bless you. You got 10 million in dollars. Or you have 1 or 2 billion. What have you done? Nothing yet. There are greater things ahead. So long as you keep measuring yourself by God's ruler, and you are not measuring and comparing yourself among yourself, you will stay safe. The day you start looking and say, there is none like me in all the earth, you're right. But there's something greater than you in heaven. Let's talk to God. Talk to God. I don't know if I've helped anybody here. I just got a word from God. He said, tell your people. You know, when God is not very pleased, he always calls them your people. When he's happy, you say, my people. So he told me now, he said, tell your people. He said, great prosperity is coming to you. Don't shout to you. He said, great prosperity. The glory of God is just about to come. It's coming. He said, the gold is mine, the silver is mine. You're going to see money you have never seen before. You're going to see blessings you never dreamt you could get. A great number of you who have followed us over the years and who are doing these things, do not allow that prosperity and that money and that blessing to become your downfall like Ahaz. I'm speaking prophetically. I'm speaking like Hanani the seer. God is going to bless you. No doubt about it. So long as you continue to seek him, he will be with you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. I know nobody said amen to that. That's the lesson. Don't allow anything, any blessing, both material, spiritual, you know, to get to your head. Most people can't handle success. A little success and they become high-minded. Even the people who used to mentor them before, they ignore them. I don't need him anymore. I don't need them anymore. I can go here, I can do that. I have my own private jet, PJ and Bo. Yes. Before you would take permission and you would say, Pastor, I want to go to this place. You know, is it okay and all that? No, but you have your own private jet now, so you don't even have to tell me. Just say, I'm calling you from Japan, man. Praise the Lord. Yes, Ami. It's coming. This is a prophetic message to warn you about the dangers of success and ease and comfort. Be like Jesus. Stay with God no matter what happens. And one of the ways you can keep yourself safe is that as that thing comes in, give it out. As it comes in, give it out. As it comes in, give it out. You still keep a little bit for yourself to go, but give, because there'll be so many needs and all of that. You know how that will help you? You will not set your eyes on it and put your confidence in it. That's the thing about my wife and I, to the glory of God. God has blessed us. We have quite a bit of resources. But you know, we have so many obligations. There's so many. So if I tell you that there are times in my bank account you won't see 10,000 naira, you won't believe. But it happens. Now there might have been a lot, and then something happens and I have to do this and I do it. And then it goes back to almost zero. So I have to trust God again. That's where to stay safe. Let's talk to God. Ah, Oluwashanuwa. What a message. And this is just the first in a lot of series. The next few months are going to be, there's a lot, maybe about 10, 15 messages. There's a lot. There's a lot. Thank you, Jesus. Talk to God, talk to God. Talk to God. Hallelujah. Jesus, you are changing me. Pity me. Jesus, you are changing me.
You are changing me.
Your spirit.
You're making me. Jesus,
you're transforming me.
You're transforming me.
That your loveliness.
That your loveliness.
May be seen. You are the potter. And I am the clay.
And I am the clay.
Help me, Lord.
Help
me to be willing to let you have your way. Jesus. I let you reign. That's the key. Supreme within my heart. Start again. Jesus, you are changing me. Sing it from your heart, folks. You're making me like you.
Your way.
It's a great prayer, folks.
Jesus.
You're transforming me.
You're transforming me.
As I let you reign supreme.
As I let you reign supreme within my heart.
Now put one hand on that heart and raise the other hand to God. That chorus that we just sang, that I let you reign supreme. That's a key word, supreme. Answer started well. Jesus was still in his heart. God was still in his heart, but he was no longer supreme. His activities became more supreme than God. His pride became more supreme than God. He went to heaven, oh. He was buried in the city of David in the sepulchre. Had a glorious homecoming, so to speak. But he lost a lot. He died of a disease that should never have come. Raise that hand. Say, Father. Father! I thank you for your word this afternoon. I confess my sins. Sins of pride, of ease in Zion. I repent of these sins. I receive the cleansing of the blood of Jesus and life and power in sufficient measure as we pray now. Father, I thank you for the scriptures that have been written aforetime for our learning. I thank you for the life of King Asa. I thank you for the good things in his life that I can learn from. And I also thank you for the mistakes that I can learn to avoid, so that my heart would not become lifted up. That when I am comfortable financially, when I am comfortable physically, I will not substitute physical activity and physical works for spiritual walk with you. That I will keep my heart close to you. Oh God, help me. And if I do miss it, oh Lord, help me to be quick to repent. Help me to be quick to repent. You gave Asa 3 years. 3 years where he could have changed everything around. But the pride and the stubbornness of his heart didn't allow him to. Oh God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Help me to keep my heart with all diligence. The humility, the honesty of my heart, to keep them with all diligence, so that I will not fall into the mistakes of Asa. In Jesus' name, amen. Nikatoshka Fredeka. Laprikito Fredeka Shakaka. Father, thank you. Ratoloma mercy. Father, thank you. Laprikloma toloma to Fredesa. Lord Jesus, thank you. Kakloma toloma to Fredesa. Dokloma toloma to Fredesa. Lord Holy Spirit, thank you. Umberkloma toloma to Fredesa. We thank you for your blood. Shelepikloma toloma to Fredesa. Thank you for your life. Ratoloma toloma to Fredesa. We thank you for your power. Shakito Fredeklama tolosk. Upon our souls. Liprikitoloma to Fredesa. Upon our bodies, upon our circumstances, Rika, Rintoske Fredeleska, Lemberdeska, upon our heavenlies, Rika Tofre, Rash, Shekito, Rika Tofrede, Tolomotofredingarsk. In Jesus' name. We've come to the end of the service. These and the messages that are going to follow over the next few months, really, are going to be very important messages, because they're going to picture each of us individually. As the word comes, you will see yourself. Because you see every man's destiny is inside the written word. What these messages are going to be doing, they're going to be bringing out that you will see that this is the direction I'm going in now. This is me. And if you are wise, you quickly correct it. When it's negative, when it's positive, you double down and make it even better. God is going to be bringing out. See, all these characters in the Bible, Asa, Hezekiah, Jehoshaphat, and so on and so forth. They are all representative of people in the church today. That's why the Holy Spirit is bringing them out. The good news is that you and I can write our destiny. See, it's like being shown the exam before you take it. Like they're showing you the question paper before you take the exam. So you now know what to do. And you make all the corrections. So by the time you take the exam, you pass. Only God can be that gracious. Give him a clap offering. Only God can be that gracious. The Lord bless you and keep you.
Amen.
The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life, God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
So we impart unto you the anointing of Enoch,
Amen.
Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name,
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore in Jesus' name. Turn to him and say, I keep my heart with all diligence by the mercy and the grace of God in Jesus' name. Amen.